A responsive reading is found on page 847, Psalms 126. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouths was filled with laughter, and our tongue with shouts of joy. Then they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us. We are glad. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like the watercourses of the Negev. May those who sow in tears reap with shouts of joy. Those who go forth weeping, bearing the seed for sowing, shall come home with shouts of joy, carrying their sheaves.
Our second scripture reading comes from the book of Isaiah. Isaiah 61, verses 1 to 4 and 8 to 11. And it's found on page 650 of the Old Testament in your pew Bible. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and release to the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to provide for those who mourn in Zion, to give them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a faint spirit. They will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, to display his glory. They shall build up the ancient ruins. They shall raise up the former devastations. They shall repair the ruined cities, the devastations of many generations. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrongdoing. I will faithfully give them their recompense, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. Their descendants shall be known among the nations, and their offspring among the peoples. All who see them shall acknowledge that they are a people whom the Lord has blessed. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My whole being shall exult in my God. For he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decks himself with a garland, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the earth brings forth its shoots, and as a garden causes what is sown in it to spring up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring up before all the nations. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Our epistle lesson for today is from 1 Thessalonians. Chapters 5, verses 16 through 24. That can be found on your pew Bible on page 193 of the New Testament. Hear these words. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise the words of the prophets, but test everything. Hold fast to what is good, abstain from every form of evil. May the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be kept sound and blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do this. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Our gospel lesson today is taken from the book of John, and it is not John 11. It's John 1. It will be found on page 6, page 86 of your pew Bible. And it will be verses 6 through 8 and then 19 through 28. Hear these words. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light so that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. This is the testimony given by John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny it, but confessed, "I am not the Messiah." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" He answered, "No." Then they said to him, "Who are you? Let us have an answer for those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." Now they had been sent from the Pharisees. They asked him, "Why then are you baptizing if you are neither the Messiah nor Elijah nor the prophet?" John answered them, "I baptize with water. Among you stands one whom you do not know, the one who is coming after me. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandal." This took place in Bethany, across the Jordan, where John was baptizing. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Who was John the Baptist? He was a cousin to Jesus, for as you know, Mary went to visit Elizabeth, who was her cousin, right after her visit from Gabriel that told her that she would be the mother of the Messiah. He was born to aging parents, a lot like Isaac was born to Sarah and to Abraham. His father, Zechariah, was a Levite priest, and he was left without the ability to speak after he doubted the word of God sent by Gabriel to him that Elizabeth would bear a son. For a good part of his life, John lived in the wilderness, and I imagine he was probably quite a scary-looking character with his camel hair clothing and big leather belt tied around it. And his diet of locusts and honey sounds yummy, doesn't it? Then he was called to witness to the coming of the Messiah, to baptize believers in water, to wash away their sins. He was to prepare them for the coming of Jesus. He knew what his task was without a doubt. When the Pharisees and Sadducees came to him and asked if he was the Messiah or Elijah or the prophet, he told them no. He told them that he was, as the prophet Isaiah said, the voice crying out in the wilderness, "Make straight the way of the Lord." He told them the one who would come after him would baptize with the Holy Spirit. John definitely knew his kingdom task. I myself am trying to find out what my task is right now. At this time in my life, Judy and I taught first grade Sunday school for many years. We felt that we'd been called to share Christ with the little guys. Later, I answered a call to teach the youth of the church. While Judy stilled with the little ones, I taught junior and senior high alongside such great teachers as Denise Gavant and Joe and Debbie Burns. Shortly after that, Judy and I started working with the UMYF, which is the youth of the church. We were fortunate enough to be able to do two mission trips with them, one in Taos, New Mexico, where we worked for Habitat for Humanity. Judy and I spent most of the time there hanging drywall with Janet Boyles. It was quite an experience. But we had a great, great experience. It was a great experience to go and be with the youth for a week. The next year, we spent a week here with them in our own church, painting and cleaning Sunday school rooms in the fellowship hall. During both of these mission tasks, we learned as much from the kids as they learned from us. We had a great time both weeks. Then we did what so many of us do. We stepped down from our task. We said it was time for someone else to take over, that our turn was up. Sound familiar? We would stay in the choir, but that was the extent of our involvement. It was somebody else's turn. We had done enough. Have you ever done that? Say, somebody else will do it. I don't need to. It's not my turn. What would happen if all of us said that? We wouldn't have this church to gather and worship in. 50-some years ago, the founders of the church said, let someone else start this church in kindergarten. We would be scattered members of other churches, never part of this congregation. We would miss knowing each other and the friendships that we have gained through this church. I would probably be still a lost soul, at least partially lost. I don't think we would ever have found another church. But last year, things changed for me. Due to the fact that our Friday night bowling league folded, I took the time to do something that I'd wanted to do for quite some time before that. I was able to take the lay speaking course offered by the leaders of our church. I am thinking that this is what I was being called to do. Why else would our bowling league that had been around for more than 10 years fold? As I look back on it, I think God was giving me a little shove. This might be what he wants me to do, to help me grow in the Word and maybe help others as well. How about you? Do you know what your kingdom task is? We all possess different talents. Some of us can sing or play a musical instrument. Some of us can cook. Some can help with repairs around the church. Some can clean. Have you ever thought that you could be the liturgist one week, like Donna did today? You should try it sometime. You might enjoy it. Ask God what you should do to help bring about his kingdom here on earth. Give it earnest thought and prayers to what you can do. Life is more fun and exciting when you participate. And as you know, Pastor Will's been talking about missional church for some time now. We are just beginning this exciting process by learning how to listen to what we are saying to each other. So far, we have put together a guiding team to help lead us through this process. It consists of Melba Taylor, Jerry Hocamp, Charlie Morrell, and myself. We're excited about learning to help all of you through this new adventure in the church. Soon we'll be interviewing a number of you to discern what you feel about the history of our church and to ask what you believe God is up to in our neighborhood. Where might we be of help to further the growth of his kingdom here in our midst? I hope and pray that we can all give serious thought and prayers to what our task in this undertaking will be, and that we can all come and take part in this joyous task as it unfolds before us. Don't say to yourself that someone else will do it. I don't need to. Listen to your heart and really ask that if someone else does it, will I miss the chance to really make a difference in my life and the lives of others? Because you said someone else will do it, you may miss out on one of the most meaningful journeys you could ever have. Amen.